The Columbia Workshop presents In the Train, an Irish play for radio by Hugh Hunt, adapted from a short story by Frank O'Connor. The scene, a railway station in Dublin. It is night, and the excited chatter of the passengers comes to us over the rattle of milk cans being loaded on a waiting train.
Paper, is it? What way would I be wanting a paper and I have mourned me great loss this night?
Is it a wake you're coming from?
It is not, then. But I parted from my best friend this very night. Michael O'Leary, the best friend I ever had.
Porter, have I turned for a cup of tea before the train goes?
The best friend I ever had, Michael O'Leary, was the best friend I ever had, and I never seen
this way, Sergeant. This way, ma'am. There's plenty of empty compartments along here. Now, with this carriage suit, you know, Sergeant.
It would do very nicely. Very nicely indeed. Will this do you all right, Julietta?
I suppose it's as good as any other on this awful train.
Well, sit yourself down now beside the window and take your ease.
Jonathan, please tell that man to put my hat box on the seat. You know I don't want it crushed.
Ah, there you are, madam. As comfortable as if you were riding in the Lord Mayor's coach.
Well, here's a shilling for you. Maybe you'll slip around and drink the wife's health.
Indeed, Sergeant. Thank you. And good night to you, ma'am.
I hope no one else comes in. But of course, they will.
It is pleasant sometimes to have company on a journey.
Well, I won't have any of your police or any of those awful witnesses. I tell you that now.
Yeah, well, see what's in the paper here.
No, we're not a bit too soon getting here. It's 2:23.
And I would have had heaps of time to get that other hat at Cleary's. Heaps of time.
Well, I always like to be in time for a train.
It's always the same. No fault for anyone, only yourself.
Oh, dear, dear, dear me.
I know heaven and rain. Let it dry.
Michael
O'Leary, the best friend I ever had.
Dear Dublin. I always want to cry when the train stops. Ah, how long will it be before I see it again?
A long while, I suppose.
3 short days. And now back to that old hole, town creek.
Well, it was a pleasant little change for you.
Change? Well, do you think I like for having my name mixed up in a murder trial? After all, I have friends in Dublin, you know.
Oh, no, my dear. No one thought you were mixed up in it.
Maybe they didn't, Jonathan. But all the same, why, the papers were full of it. But it was like heaven to be back in Dublin. Just to look down from the hotel windows and see men in real evening dress. I spoke to the prosecutor. Oh, what was his name?
Mr. Boyle.
Yes, Mr. Boyle. Oh, he had a wonderful face. And his voice went right through me. Oh, if only we hadn't been engaged in this awful business. Oh, that terrible woman, standing there in the dock, staring, just staring. Sometimes I couldn't sleep at night after seeing her.
Yeah, she was a bit scared, so she was.
Scared? Rubbish. She enjoyed it. I really believe she was proud of having murdered her poor, unfortunate husband, the brazen hussy. Why wasn't she convicted? That's what I want to know.
Well, it's hard to say which way the law will take. If it's hard on some, it is easy on others, and that's the way of it.
Jonathan. Here she is. Quick, don't let her come in here. If she comes in here, I'll...
Is it this carriage that goes to Farm Creek? Oh, she said I didn't see her coming.
Well, now you'll be blowed.
Fancy her coming back in the same train as us. Well, you'd think she felt some shame. I nearly fainted.
Well, then again, why wouldn't she? There's no one could tell her to stop. No, she's free now to come and go as she pleases, by the mercy of God.
Oh, I suppose you're going to say that she never killed her husband at all.
Well, in the eyes of the law, she's an innocent woman.
Oh, if it were anywhere else except Town Priest, this never would have happened. Never. And the country for the people that you brought up as witnesses. Why, they're as bad as that one, with all the lies they told him, of course.
The people in Fire and Creech have a great distaste for the law.
Excuse me, officer. Excuse me, lady. at my own door. There's a coffee couple and I can't get into my compartment. So I thought I'd come and tell you about my old friend, Michael O'Leary.
Well, I...
Pardon from him, I am this very
nice. Do I have to endure this?
No, move along like a decent man. The wife has a headache.
Oh, certainly, officer, certainly. I beg your pardon, ma'am, dear. I want to know about Michael, the best friend I have.
Well, now, really, that's too much. It's too much. Well, why didn't you put him out sooner?
Oh,
nobody has any consideration for my feelings, I suppose. I'm sure I shall have a nervous breakdown after all this. Yesterday, I cried all the day.
Oh, no, you bore a grand, thank you to heaven. And when you get back to Farn Creech, you'll be a different person.
Farn Creech? I have no life at all there. No one to speak to all day, and nowhere to go. Nothing to look at but bogs and mountains and rain. Nothing but rain. Oh, here come your precious policemen, Magna and the other two. Well, I hope they've sense enough not to come in here. I couldn't bear to listen to them for the next 4 hours.
We'll be joining us later for a glass, Sergeant. We'll be up the far end.
I wouldn't like to leave the wife alone.
No, don't mind me.
Did you see Erisina Mulmore and the other folks?
I did not, then. They'll have to be hurrying. Do you know who's on the train?
No.
Who? Well, you'll not put until you see her face. Helena McGuire herself. But she walked in here not 2 minutes ago as cool as a cucumber.
Aye, it's a strange how cool some can take it. But that one would fit well. Come along now, Magna, if it's a quiet seat you want. And what happened to the man?
Well, they might have managed to say a good evening to me.
Ah, they hadn't much time to get themselves settled.
And what did Delancey mean by passing me by like that without even speaking to us? I don't think I'll ask him to tea again. The others make fun of him. But really, Delancey is hopeless.
Oh, Delancey, he's a poor slob.
Oh, yes. But that's not enough, Jonathan. Slob or no slob, he should make an attempt. He's a young man. He should have a dinner jacket at least. What sort of a wife will he get if he won't even wear a dinner jacket?
He's easy, I'd say. He's after a farm in Waterford.
Oh, a farm. A farm. The wife is only an incidental, I suppose.
Well, no, from all I hear, she's a nice little incidental.
Yes, I suppose many a nice little incidental came from a farm. Oh, here come the neighbors. I hope they realize what sort of figures they cut. Not one of the women has a hat.
Up the far end. The dress goes up there.
Why, you're a bigger horse. You may have me, are you?
Hurry up, Ma. Hurry up, or you'll be missing it yet.
All the little business.
Good evening, Ma. Well, for the future, I shall certainly cut that woman, Moll Moore.
Ah, poor old Moll Moore. She has a big heart.
She's a scandalous liar. A brazen liar.
Oh, the poor soul. She means well.
She contradicted you in the most outrageous fashion in the court. Jonathan, in future, you're not to recognize that woman when you see her.
Is it in a place like Farn Creech where you couldn't refuse to salute an old cow?
Oh, there it is. There it is. No social distinctions. No principles. Oh, I can feel it enveloping me already, that awful place. Oh, I really can't bear it any longer.
Well, no, maybe as soon as we get back, girl, we'll get a shift to somewhere else. Oh, no, don't cry. Ah, that's a good girl.
It's too much.
Oh, wish not. You got it off. 4 minutes late.
Possibly be the glory of me. I said, on my life, on my glory.
I sometimes wonder if I can put up with it any longer. Oh, I'm afraid I'm not used to such surroundings. My father was an educated man, you see. But culture doesn't exist in time.
Poor old Delancey. He's cracked on the sergeant's wife. Oh, did you see the eye he gave her as we were passing the sergeant and the sergeant?
Oh, I am. Cracked on her. The devil admire me. I never hated anyone yet, but I think I hate the living sight of her.
Oh, no. Oh, no, don't you spend the time catching in additions to tea.
I don't want her old tea. I never ask for old tea. I can get better tea at the barracks. But what can I do when she knows where I am every hour of the day? Well, she's tired of persecuting the sergeant. She's only to send across the road for me.
Well, indeed, I don't know how the sergeant puts up with that same damsel.
Ah, she'll never rest till she's out of Parham Creek.
And the sergeant along with her. I'd be sorry for that. He's a real nice man and very friendly to the place.
It's the city life she wants.
And how do you like the city yourself, Dad?
Oh, man, dear, I'd like it fine. There's great life in a city.
You can have it and welcome.
Why so?
I'm well content where I am.
I don't know. There must be a great charm about the criminal courts.
Much charm they had for you when you were up in the witness box.
Oh, I know, sure. I know.
Shutting your eyes like a kid afraid he was going to get a clip on the ear.
Is this my carriage, gentlemen?
No, it is not. Go on with you.
I had as nice a carriage as ever was put on a railway train. A handsome carriage. And she's lost.
Try further up.
Excuse me interrupting your conversation, gentlemen.
That's all right now. Go on with you.
I'm very melancholy, gentlemen. My best friend, Michael O'Leary. I parted with him this very night and said to no one if I'd ever lay eyes on him again in this world. Oh, good night, gentlemen. Good night, and thank you. Thank you for all your kindnesses. Oh, Father.
Still, I admit the Lancy wasn't the only one had the wind up when he stepped in the box.
He was not. Even the sergeant was shook. When he picked up the mug with that bit of poison in it, he was trembling all over. And before he could put it down, it danced the jig on the table.
Well, there was something queer came over me when that long, lean lawyer fella with the wig started rattling his questions at me. It was that had me muddled. Only for that, I'd have been all right.
Mm. Well, this time tomorrow night, I'll be sitting in Ned Ivor's pub with a pint in my fist. And by the same token, Dan, did you bring the drink with you?
I did, then.
Hand it over to me. That is poor stuff, only you'd get in the city.
Ah, just little good is in it. I wonder now what came over that same Helena McGuire to rise up and kill her husband.
Maybe it was on account of the drink he took. He was a hard man, I'm told, when he drink taken.
And his father the same.
I wouldn't say that, no. I'd say there was another man in it, maybe.
Oh, a man? How so?
There was a young fella from the Black Glen she had her heart set upon. Very often I'd meet them down by the river before her father wed her over to Seamus.
Oh.
Very great they were together.
Maybe it was that she was thinking of.
Mm. Here's the sergeant coming now. We'll ask him.
He wasn't long getting tired of his Juliet.
Well, lads, what about a glass or something, huh?
Isn't that remarkable now? I was only mentioning the subject when you came in.
I've noticed before, Foley, that you and I have what might be called a simultaneous thirst.
How's the wife, Sergeant?
Well, now she's bearing up well, thank you. Though it was a bit of a shock to her seeing that same Helena McGuire in the train.
We were just running our minds back over the trial, Sergeant, when you came along. Would you say it was on account of the drink that she did it?
Well, it might, and then again, it might not.
Or would you say it was the great desire she had for Katie Driscoll?
Well, it maybe was.
A fine-spirited woman she must be to have done the like of that.
Aye, and never let on to a thing the time she stood up to face the judge.
She bested the lot of us. There wasn't one of us that didn't feel the strain when we stood up in the court. But she never let a quiver out of her.
It was a remarkable case.
I mind well the sort of dull look she had when we came to take her off to the barracks.
The same look that she had in the court.
Oh, that old court. I'll never forget that.
The questions they asked.
And the answers we gave.
What a strange case.
Where are we? Aren't we home yet?
No, won't be. What trouble you step home so soon?
Me little house.
Me little house. I suppose it wasn't enough for you to board up the windows and put barbed wire on the old bit of a gate before you left.
It's all well for you that have someone to mind yours for you. And what are you laughing at, ma'am?
Does that shame have me laughing? To think of me own helpless digit of a man this week past is a stir above talk.
I am making the bed.
And watching the children sing.
Aye. And his chicken's running off with Katie Candylan's barley.
The barley, is it? It's better barley than was ever gathered on your old pigsty of a farm.
Oh, yes, he's to say. Isn't it a great thing for me this week, sir? And I look at an old scarecrow the like of you instead of your own fine, bouncing man.
Kathleen, my boy, the gradual mister. She's not here.
Who's not here, mister?
I'm looking for my own carriage, ma'am, and whatever they've done with it, it's lost. The railways in this country have gone to...
There's nothing else that's troubling you. Will you sit here down and I'll be myself?
Well, I would with great pleasure, ma'am. With great pleasure. But tis only the carriage. Oh. Tis the traveling companion. I'm a lonely man. I parted with my best friend this very night. I found one to console me, and when I turned me back, she was gone.
Oh, so it's a female person that's consoling you.
It was indeed, ma'am. A female person with a beautiful face. A sad female person.
What sort was she?
I don't know, ma'am. I don't know. From Farron Priest, she came with a beautiful name. Helena McGuire, she called herself. I must find her, ma'am, if I have to search the whole train. Oh, God.
So her sense is on the train, is she?
Isn't it a great impudence in her to come back?
Isn't it, no?
She won't be there long.
You will give her the hunt, I suppose.
If no one else do, I'll give her the hunt myself.
And still, Katie Kindillan, you swore black was white to save her neck.
I did, of course. What else would I do, my moor? There was never an informer in my family.
What else would we do? Isn't she one of ourselves?
And great disgrace upon the village if they'd hang her by the neck.
We told our story, the lot of us, and we told it well.
We did indeed.
And nobody told it better than Mal Moss.
See, you think here she believed it herself. The Lord knows I nearly did.
Did anyone ever think the day would come when a woman in our parish would do the like of that?
Never, never a monster.
She might do it for land.
Or for money.
Maybe for money.
When the hunger was land, people killed for land. When the hunger was money, people killed for money.
In my young days, if you killed a man, there was great reason in it. But what are they killing for now?
Ah, the people aren't wild as they were.
Nor as poor as they were.
Not as strong as they were.
There's a great change coming. A great change.
In the age of the world, people are asking for more. See the folk, here's the pony.
Oh, come on in, Sergeant. Come on in. Come on in, the whole bunch of you. And set me free from the dismal thoughts, isn't it?
Well, we were lonely without you.
Oh, were you?
You're the biggest and brazenest and cleverest liar of the lot. But I'll forgive you everything if you give me one sup from the bottle of liquor you have hid there under your shawl.
Well, I hope there's none of that same illegal potheen you have there, Moll.
Oh, Sergeant, do you think I drink that stuff?
Did you ever drink anything else?
There'll be one good day's work done in Farron Creek on the head of this trial.
And how so?
Dan Moore will make a great brew of potheen when we're back to a turn.
I'll get that husband of yours yet, Moll.
I'll sit down the lot of you. Sit down. It's too much fun.
Well, me old peacock. Hurry, your man, get a tie.
It was a wonderful story you told, and Helena McGuire should be down on her knees offering up prayers for you this night.
Sure, you fooled us, right enough.
You fooled ourselves better.
Well, there'll be great talk now when we get back to Farron Creek.
Well, I'll be well pleased to be back. I've no great grow for city life myself. No life for a man.
Listen to the rain, will you? We'll have a wet walk home.
It'll be midnight before we'd be there.
Ah, sure, the whole countryside will be up.
It'll be like daylight with all the talk they'll be there.
And there'll be no sleep in Farron Creek tonight.
Oh, Farron Creek. Farron Creek and the sky over you. I wouldn't change places with the Queen of England tonight.
Welcome us to Farron Creek. Farron Creek. Farron Creek. Welcome us to Farron Creek. Farron Creek. Farron Creek. Farron Creek. Welcome us to Farron Creek. 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 Farron I'm a lonely man. And now I'm going back to my lonely habitation. The best friend I left behind me, Michael O'Leary. It is a great pity you don't know Michael. And a great pity Michael don't know you. But look at the fortunate way a thing will happen. I was looking for someone to console me, and the moment I turned my back, you were gone. Oh, God.
Johnny,
this is where I go. This is where I get off. But this is the end of a beautiful friendship, Helena, if you will permit me to call you that. You have a beautiful face. A beautiful face. But what's more important, you have a beautiful soul. I look into your eyes and I see the beauty of your nature. Allow me one favor. Only one favor before we part.
What is it you'd be wanting, mistress?
A kiss, ma'am. A kiss on your beautiful, sad face. Kathleen, my boy, the great one.
On my beautiful child.
Helena, they're all up in the train. Wouldn't you come now and join us?
No. No.
Sister, they're asking for you.
I couldn't.
Oh, why couldn't you? Who are you minding? Is it the police?
I'll stop where I am.
You know, take a sip of this, and it'll put a new heart into you.
Thank you kindly.
Wait till I tell you what Magnus said. That fellow's a limb of the devil. I've heard a drop mall, Sophie. Need I have then, Sophie? What is it, Sophie? What do you think, Sophie? Oh, for the love of heaven, Sophie, baptize it quick and call it Sophie. Oh, they're coming along themselves. Here, give me that bottle. Couldn't do it all for the sergeant to see that stuff. Will you look at that fellow, Magnus? He's taken a drop too much, right enough.
Helena, accept my congratulations. He'll get you the next time, though.
Masha, what are you saying, mister?
Not a word. Not a word. You're a clever woman, a remarkable woman, and I'll give you full credit for it. You threw dust in all our eyes.
Poison is hard to come by and easy to trace. But it beat me to trace where you got it from that time.
Well, there's things they're saying about me.
You're safe now. As safe as the judge on the bench. Last night, when the jury came out with a verdict, you could have stood up and said, "You're wrong, I did it. I got the stuff at such and such a place. I did it and I'm proud of it." You could have said every word of that, and no one would have dared to lay a hand on you.
Indeed, what a thing I'd say.
Well, you could.
The law is a truly remarkable phenomenon. Here you are, sitting at your ease at the expense of the state, and for one word, one little word of a couple of letters, you could be lying in the body of the jail, waiting for the rope and the morning jaunt.
Please, don't talk that way, mister.
Well, it was the holy will of God.
With all the bloody lies, man, were told.
With all the lots of fools you made of yourselves in the witness box.
And now, Helena, since it's all over and past, maybe you'll tell us what came over you to do a thing like that.
Was it for the land you did it?
Or the money? Was it because he was old and dirty and cantankerous and a miser the way they said he was?
Or maybe on account of the way he beat you when he'd the drink taken? Or what made you do it?
We know different from that, don't we, Helena? Well, there'll be one happy man in foreign priest tonight.
No, no, Magda, don't be making mischief.
One happy man. 'Tis his turn.
Go on, no, man, you're drunk.
You wanted him, didn't you?
Your people wouldn't let you have him, but you'll have him at last in spite of them all.
Do you mean Katie Driscoll?
You know rightly who I mean.
I'll tell you nothing.
She's a close woman, and she's right, surely.
Well, however it is, there's a right welcome before you when you get back home. Since you'll be the interesting woman, and the people wondering how you came to do it at all, you'll have all that you want.
I'm not wanting anything at all.
Is that a new blouse you have on?
I seen it last night from the shop in the cage. A shop on the way down from the bus. Is it nice?
It is a fine color. How much did it cost you?
Is that all you were thinking of? You should have been on your bended knees before the altar.
I was, too.
Ta, women.
Well, we'll be in a couple of minutes. I'd best be getting along to the wife. Well, good night to you, ma'am. I'm glad for all our sakes things turned out the way they did.
Good night.
I pity him. There'll be a scolding for that poor man when he gets back to his maid.
Give us another shot from that bottle mouth.
That's enough, though. You've had enough for the night.
And for why would you be buying a new blouse?
Just coming in.
Can you see if there's any other boys on the platform?
There's a great crowd, surely.
Can you catch a glimpse of my man, Dan?
Isn't that him beyond that man?
I'll move over, can't you, the way he's seen you waving.
There's me bald, shameless squirt. I get the old man's door.
Where?
There, that one.
Now, who the fuck will come down to meet me?
And she cracked on you, God.
Did you hear that,
Foley?
Come on.
Is there any sign of Katie from Dillon? How did the old rascal play up Dublin?
I'm here if you need me, get out.
Really, Jonathan, how disgusting. I always hated Dan.
Dan, is that you, Dan?
Who else would it be? I'm
saying
we
did it. But no, Dan.
Hurry on now, unless you don't be standing around faster. Come on now, miss, unless you want to let me get behind the train.
Please, mister, did you see Katie Driscoll here tonight?
Sure, and how would I be saying him? Didn't he leave for America yesterday?
Did you ever see such rain?
The river will likely be flooded.
Just walk around by the road.
He's no more to me now than a salt sea.
You have been listening to the Columbia Workshops presentation of In the Train, a radio play by Hugh Hunt, adapted from a short story by Frank O'Connor. The music was composed by Bernard Herrmann, and the entire production was under the direction of Brewster Morgan. Next week, at this same time, the Columbia Workshop will present an original play for radio called A Letter from Home by Charles R. Jackson. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.